Well, last week I preached the message about commitment, about being willing to forsake all and follow Jesus. And you know, when Jesus preached such things, well, it thinned the crowd a lot. And I realized that that's not a popular message, so I'm glad to see that some of you made it back this week. Amen. And that you're not afraid to be a true follower of Jesus, a true disciple of Jesus. We're in a series right now titled Follow Me. Those are the words that Jesus used to call people to be his disciples. Are we all supposed to be disciples of Jesus? Yes. This is the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples, not just converts, disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. That's what he said. And to follow Jesus, we talked about this last week in Luke 14:33. He says we have to be willing to forsake all to follow him. That is a total commitment. Now, I want you to understand, this is Grace Church. We believe in God's grace. God's grace works in us that we can have a real relationship with him and we can live victoriously. It's his power working in our lives. God's grace is not so that we can live a half-hearted Christian life. It's not so that we can live in compromise and sin in our life. I think some people in this generation are a little confused about what grace is all about. Grace is how we overcome sin and we have victory in our life. And I just want you to understand, yes, God loves us and he is for us and he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but he calls us to live a life that makes a difference in this world. And we have to answer the call to follow him by making that total commitment to him. You know, when life isn't going great, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, maybe what we need to do is, you know, go to church. They want to get a little religion in their life, and maybe that'll make their life better. But I got to tell you, that is not why Jesus died on the cross, just to make our lives a little better. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could be radically changed. It's a whole different kind of life. See, some people just want Jesus to change their circumstances, but he wants to change our lives from the inside out. That's how he does it. And he calls us to follow him, to be his disciples. You know, to be a disciple is to learn a new way of life. And the ultimate goal of the disciple is to become like the master. Now, it's a concept that is a little bit lost on us in our culture today. But in the time that Jesus walked this earth, there were many teachers who had students that followed them. John the Baptist, who pointed the way to Jesus, he had disciples. And we just need to understand that, you see, as a disciple of Jesus, that means that we follow him, that we are with him. He is our teacher, our master. We are learning from him how to live the life that we're supposed to live. And we're learning from him in order that we might become more and more like him day by day. But to follow him is to be with him. In Mark 3:14, it says, then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him. Part of the disciples' commitment to follow Jesus, they literally left all and followed him, that they could be with him. And to be a disciple, we also have to be with him. Some want to follow at a distance, but that doesn't work. No, we got to be with him. We got to keep all that in perspective. No, it doesn't work that way. We want to be with Jesus. We want to be close with Jesus. We want a relationship that is life-changing. That's what we want. How do you do that? Well, you got to be with him all the time. Now, think about this. The disciples were with him 24/7, and how amazing that must have been for them to be with Jesus night and day, to experience life with him, to hear all that he had to say. You know, a lot of people just heard a little bit. They got to hear everything. They got to see everything. They got to experience everything about Jesus. How amazing that was. The only time they weren't with Jesus is when he sent them out in ministry. What about us? How can we do that? How can we be with him all the time? The last recorded words of Jesus in the book of Matthew are what we call the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. And at the very end of it, the very last recorded words of Jesus, he says, "And I am with you always." I am with you always. And then what did he do? He left. That's right. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Listen, this, we need to know this. He hasn't left us. And you may not see him, you may not be able to touch him in a physical body, but he is just as much with us. How can he be everywhere at all times? How can he be with us here in Burleson, Texas, and at the same time, he's with believers in South Korea this morning? You understand what I'm saying? He's everywhere all the time. How? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 18, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you," talking about himself, "he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And there it is. You see, when he ascended to heaven, he didn't leave us all on our own. He says, "I will come to you." How? In the person of the Holy Spirit. See, yes, there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's just amazing how some people can't seem to understand that these three are one. And Jesus is with us every day through the person of the Holy Spirit. Always. He said, "I will always, always be with you." Always. The Holy Spirit, he is our comforter, our helper, our counselor, our teacher, our guide. He leads us. I tell you, he is with us all the time. And just as the disciples were with him 24/7, he is always with us. Here's an issue that we need to consider this morning. He is always with us. But are we with him? Do we even acknowledge his presence in our life? Do we just act as though he's not around? Do we forget that he's with us? Are we even aware of his presence? Is it only when we need him we say, "Oh, he's with us"? No, we need to realize that all the time he's with us. And we're with him. His disciples, he called them, he said, that they might be with him. And we need to realize that we are with him. You see, you got to choose to be with him. You can sit in the same room with somebody and not talk and not have any real relationship. And Jesus said he would always be with us. But we got to have a real relationship with Jesus where we are with him. Where we acknowledge him and we look to him, we talk to him, he talks to us. I'm talking about a real relationship. You know, these disciples, they were real people. They ate, they slept, they did the work of the ministry, but they had times when they were just alone with Jesus. It was just them and Jesus. There were times when they went and ministered to people, but then they would be back alone with Jesus. And you see, we need to have those times of being alone with Jesus. You got to work. You know, you got to take care of the kids and run them here and there. You got to go to school. Yeah, we've all got responsibilities. And we play. Right? Well, come on. Amen. That's right. 64 years old, I still like to play. Amen. But here's the thing. We got to have some alone time. I mean, he's with us when we're driving down the freeway. But we need some alone time with him. Some quality time where we're really just with him. So much of the teachings of Jesus, you know, the disciples got to see and hear everything. They understood things. They saw things, they heard things, and they understood things that a lot of people didn't. And I want you to understand, you see, there's a whole lot about Christianity that even most Christians don't understand. How do you get that? You gotta be with him. You gotta be with him a lot. And the more that you're with him, the more that you see things, the more you hear, and the more that you begin to understand. You see, that's what happened with the disciples, and that happens with us too. They knew Jesus in a way that other people didn't. There's an intimacy and a closeness that comes from being with Jesus. And it is still that way today. Matthew 13, 10 and 11, the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." You know what? I talked about that verse several times lately. It needs to be talked about because there's a lot of people that totally miss what Jesus was doing a lot of the time when he spoke parables. He was communicating it to them, but in a way that was hidden from their eyes. But for the disciples, those that were close, those that were with him, he told them everything. He explained everything. He said, "Everything the Father's revealed to me, I've given it to you." See, we need to understand that there's something special about being with Jesus. And being alone with him, that needs to be a priority in our life. Something that is truly valuable to us. Something that's precious is to be alone with Jesus. I tell you, in the time and the culture that we live in, there's so many distractions and so many things that would pull your attention away. So much entertainment, you know, all these electronic devices. And we need to realize how precious it is just to be alone with Jesus. All of us have the opportunity, if we want to be close to him, we can. And we can be one of those that he speaks to. One of those that get to know things that not everybody gets to know. And you know, as a pastor, I certainly experienced this, and I know many of you have as well, that sometimes God reveals something to you, he shows something to you, and you try to tell somebody else about it, and they don't get it. And first of all, let me just tell you, sometimes when God tells you something, it's not for everybody. But sometimes they're just not at a place, the place where you are. And we just need to understand that the more that we're with him, the more we're going to see and hear and know and understand, and we're going to be changed. I mean, to be with him is to be changed, it's to be empowered, and it's to become like him. You know, Jesus did a whole lot of teaching, and that's very important. But you can't learn everything just by teaching, just by hearing. There are some things that are better caught than taught. And you see, the disciples being with Jesus, they learned some things that wasn't just by the words of his mouth. Are you understand what I'm saying? He modeled it for them. And you know, the more that we are with Jesus, there are things that we learn and we understand. Because here's the thing, you can get all kinds of teaching. But if something doesn't happen on the inside, well, it'll just make you religious. No, there's something that has to change on the inside, and we need that personal relationship, that closeness with the Lord. And as we follow Jesus, I'll tell you, we learn things, we understand things, and there's this transference that happens as we are with him. In Luke chapter 24, it tells us a story about two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about the scripture, and they're sad, they're upset, you know, they're down because, you know, Jesus has been crucified. He's died. But then Jesus comes along, and he begins to talk with them. They don't realize that it's Jesus. It was hidden from their eyes until they had dinner with him. And when Jesus broke the bread, I don't know what it was about the way he broke bread, but when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were opened and he vanished from them. But something had happened to them because they were with Jesus. And here's what they said in Luke 24, 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, it's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing when Jesus causes you to understand the scriptures. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the road with him? Jesus, being with Jesus, it'll give you heartburn. The good kind, right? Let me tell you, people whose hearts have grown cold or maybe lukewarm, you know what they need? They need to be with Jesus. People that are sad and weary, you know, maybe some events, some things have happened and they don't understand. You know what they need? They just need to be with Jesus a while. Because I'm telling you, Jesus can set your heart on fire again. But the call to be with him, it is not just a call to come hang out. It is a call to a closeness with him, an intimacy with him, to know him personally. The disciples, again, they experience things that others didn't get to experience, and it is the same today. Somehow, I think we get the idea that, you know, well, God has his favorites, and I'm not one of them, so that's just the way that is. The scripture says that he has no respecter of persons. You can choose to be with him, to be close to him, to be one of those that he speaks to, one of those that he trusts. But being with Jesus, it will change you. See, you can hear religious teaching and not be changed. But if you spend time with Jesus, it will change you. You will become a better Christian. Okay? You will become a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better child, a better employee. Are you getting what I'm saying? It'll change you. It'll make you different. You won't be the same old person anymore. And this, in spite of the fact that we talk about Christianity being all about a relationship, it still is a real issue that so many, though they learn about it and they learn about Him, they're not really with Him. He's available. He's with us. But are we aware? This life, it really is all about a relationship with Jesus. You know all about God. You can study about it. But you got to know Him personally. There's an ugly word that we don't like to talk about sometimes, but it's very closely related to the word disciple, and the English word disciple, and it is the English word discipline. Discipline. Sometimes we need some discipline in our spiritual life. We all understand that when it comes to natural things, you know, in this world, a lot of the time, that one of the keys to real success is discipline. I mean, if you want to get in shape, if you want to go higher academically, if you want to succeed at your job, a lot of the time, part of that equation is discipline. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's strange how people think, oh, that should just be easy. We're in a battle. I just want you to know that if the enemy of your soul can distract you with shiny things, he's going to do it. We need some discipline. We need some discipline about our time with the Lord. He's worth that. He deserves that. It's a wonderful example in evangelist, a great evangelist that God used mightily. His name was Billy Sunday. And when Billy first got saved and he joined a church, a fellow believer said to him, he said, William, there are three simple rules I wish you'd practice. If you do, no one will ever write backslider after your name. Well, there's a term that's just culturally incorrect to use anymore, but it just refers Okay, it used to refer to a person who no longer goes to church and no longer wholeheartedly serves God. They were backsliders. That's what they called them. And so the advice that was given to Billy Sunday was that if he would do these three simple things, he would never become a backslider. The first, he said, take 15 minutes every day to let God talk to you. Take 15 minutes every day to talk to God, and take 15 minutes every day to talk to others about God. Let God talk to you. I want you to know the best way for you to do that is to sit with the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Scriptures. So often as we read and meditate the Scripture, it will come alive to us. Listen, if you're expecting God to speak to you, it will come alive to us. Something, God will bring it to our attention, and all of a sudden, it's like it's speaking to us. In John 8:31, Jesus says, you are my disciples indeed if you abide in my word. If you stay in my word. See, you want to be a real disciple of Jesus, you need to have some discipline about this. That, you know what? I'm going to be with Jesus by hearing his word. Do you realize Jesus is the living word? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to be with Jesus? Spend some time in his word and let him speak to you. How about 15 minutes a day? You set the timer and you say, man, I can't wait for that timer to go off. How long has it been? 3 minutes. Oh, my goodness. You know what that means? That means that we need to develop some new habits and be more disciplined about our life. Amen. Next, he told him, he said, you talk to God. Oh, how wonderful to be able to pour out our concerns and our needs and our requests to our Heavenly Father and just, you know, be able to pray about those things that cause us to be anxious and upset, and that perfect peace, peace that passes understanding comes. Oh, what a privilege is prayer. Just 15 minutes. What if we, you know, let's talk about, oh, pastor, let's be spiritual. Let's talk about an hour or two. Let's just start with this. I mean, let's just get everybody, even the person this morning that says, you know, I don't know about all that. Come on, let's pray. Just 15 minutes. Talk to God. Real power, more than you can accomplish in the rest of your day, the other 23 hours and 45 minutes, praying 15 minutes. Give that to God. And you know what? The last one he told him is, talk to others about God. See, I think if we spend time in God's Word and God speaks to us, and then we spend time praying and talking to God, that other one isn't so hard. It's amazing how God will give you an opportunity. And like he does this shy introvert sometimes, sometimes it's just kind of thrust upon me. I don't even know how I got in this conversation, but here I am. But you'll end up talking to people about the Lord and how we need to be being used of the Lord that way. These are three simple disciplines, 15 minutes each. Billy Sunday became super successful as an evangelist. And he attributed a lot of his success from the blessing of God because of these disciplines. And no matter how big and how successful he became, he never forsook these simple disciplines. It worked for him. I think it'll work for us because it is from the principles of Scripture that we would be with him, that we would spend time in his Word and allow him to speak to us, that we would pray and seek him, and that we would be used of him, that we would tell others, that we would be a witness of him, that the things that we have seen and heard, see, we get to see and hear things and know things. As I said, sometimes it's just for you, but oh, there's a lot of the time that God wants to use us to help somebody else along their way. But I want to talk about this discipline for just a few minutes, just to get you thinking about this right. 15 minutes. That's 1/96th of your day, hardly more than 1/100th of your day. That's not much, is it? 1/100th of your day. Let's just say, okay, let's jump on in here with 15 for prayer and 15 for the Word. Wow, now we're up to 1/48th of your day, almost a 50th of your day. If you do all three, then you're up to 1/32nd of your day. 1/32nd of your day. Wow. Put that on a pie chart. There it is. For all three disciplines, 1/32nd of your day. It's like 3.1% of your day to do all three of these disciplines. I'm just trying to get you to see this. How the enemy talks us out of being with Jesus. It's amazing. 3% of your day? Oh my goodness. Come on, ladies, you know that almost every one of you, you spend at least 30 minutes getting your outside ready. And we appreciate that. Right? And a lot of us, you know, we got time in our schedule. We know, we understand how important it is to work out. We're taking care of the outside. But what about the inside? It's so much more important. See, there's nothing wrong with those things. I mean, we don't think anything about spending an hour at the table. You can tell I spend a lot of time at the table. But here's the thing. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, how we need to have discipline about our time with the Lord. See, if you don't get anything else from this message this morning, get this practical application. This is a challenge for many of us. 1/32nd of your day. You can talk about Jesus is always with us, but I want to tell you, if you can't have any time alone with Him, you're not serious about being with Him. You got to have some time alone with Him. You know, I have talked about John Wesley's mother before, and I had to do a little research. I just was curious, and what I discovered is that she actually had 19 children, and there were several that passed away. You know, in that time, the health care was obviously not at all what it is today, but she lost several children in childbirth or soon after. But this woman raised two godly men, John and Charles Wesley, who impacted nations. And they had this godly mother that had set such an example for them and taught them so well. But you know, when you got a bunch of kids, it's hard to have some alone time, right? I mean, some of you, you got two, and you're like, I don't know how in the world. So this is what she did. She would tell her kids, y'all be good. And I think she was quite the disciplinarian, by the way, but we'll get into that. She said, y'all be good. And then she would pull her apron up over her head and have her prayer time for an hour. You can find a way. One of the things my parents taught me many, many years ago, they said, people do what they want to do. And you know what? There's so much truth in that. If people really want to do something, they find a way to do it. And you know what? If you really want to have some alone time with Jesus, you'll find a way to do it. You might have to get up a little earlier. You might have to, you know, shift some things around. You might not have, instead of an hour for working out, you only got 20 minutes today because you had to have some time with Jesus. I'm just saying, people do what they want to do, and I challenge you this morning. It's a great place to start, 15, 15, and 15. But it's got to be a daily discipline. The Christian life, it really is all about a relationship. It's about knowing Him personally. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about knowing Jesus Christ. It's Philippians 3, 7 and 8. He says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Here's a man who forsook all. He lost everything in order to know Christ. He said, for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. They say, we got to have our priorities right. Compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is worthless. Compared to knowing Jesus, the Apostle Paul was not one of the 12. As a Pharisee, it's unlikely that he didn't know about Jesus. He may have very well been one of those that yelled, crucify him. And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, this Paul that we read about and how he knew Christ and what a great impact he had. As many of you know, he was a man named Saul who later changed his name to Paul. But he was a man named Saul, a religious zealot that persecuted the church, put people in prison, mean as the devil. How did he have this intimate relationship with Jesus that he has now, where he says, I count everything a loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ? And in verse 10 of that passage, he says, I want to know Christ. How did he get there? How does he know him this way? The same way you and I do, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, Saul had this incredible encounter with Jesus while he is on his way to persecute more Christians. A great light shines on him. It is so bright that he is blinded by the light. Maybe that's where the words to that song came from. I don't know. He was blinded by the light. It was so bright. And he hears this voice, this vision from heaven, you see, this bright light, and he hears this voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And you see, in that moment, he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? In that moment, I believe that he was absolutely converted, that he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He says, what do you want me to do? And Jesus tells him to go on into the city and to wait there. And the Lord speaks to a man named Ananias and tells him to go and pray for Saul, who is about to become or eventually become the Apostle Paul. I want to read this one to you from Acts 9, 17 and 18. And Ananias went on his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. How did he have this closeness with Jesus, so intimate with the Lord? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are on their way to the temple one day, and there's a lame man. No telling how long, how often this man had been put there, but it wasn't a new thing. But on this occasion, I don't know if the Lord spoke to Peter how this happened, but as this man is begging alms, Peter turns to him and he says, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was totally healed. Now, when that happened, a lot of people came around and Peter preached to those people. He preached about the risen Lord. In fact, he was so bold. He talked about how you have crucified him, but he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that 5,000 men believed. Well, you know the religious leaders didn't like that. And so they come and they confront Peter and John. Let me read to you from Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. Oh, there's more important things. They marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. They told them not to talk about Jesus anymore. They said, we got to obey God rather than men. Five things that you can learn from Acts chapter 4. You might read it later, Acts chapter 4, about people that have been with Jesus. And so, you see, they knew they had been with Jesus. And let me tell you, the first thing, others can tell. If you've been with Jesus, see, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more it will change you, the more that others will be able to tell you've been with Jesus. Number two, people that have been with Jesus, they talk about Jesus. The more that you're with him, the more you're going to talk about him. They were bold about it. That's number three. There was a boldness. How is it this Peter, who denied the Lord, and now he's fearless, he's bold, he's not afraid of their threats. It doesn't matter what they say to him. He is bold. What happened to him? He received the Holy Spirit. He had received power to be a witness. He was bold. Being with Jesus, it'll make you bold. Don't talk anymore about this Jesus. Better to obey God than man. Been with Jesus, you obey God. And last, people that have been with Jesus, they have an impact. Not everybody's called to preach and see 5,000 saved, but I want you to know that every one of us can have an impact. And when you've been with Jesus, you're going to have an impact on the lives around you. I want to close this message this morning with one last verse, and I'm going to talk about it for just a minute. It's Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Now, some people want to relegate this to another teaching of Jesus that is not for us. Really strange to me that people do that with the words of the Savior. And I just want to say to you, I want you to understand, Luke was not one of the 12. This was not written for the 12's sake. This was written for our sake. You see, a lot of people, they just say, "Oh no, Holy Spirit's just automatic." Then why did Jesus say that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I want to testify, I will bear witness this morning that something different happened in my life when I asked for the Holy Spirit. Why should anybody be afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit? Because I was taught better. By who? Not by Jesus. No, it is the Father's pleasure to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I want to encourage you this morning. You see, that's how he is always with us. It is in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you just need to put yourself in the place where you are truly with him all the time. That you daily are walking and talking with the Lord. That you understand, you see, when he says, "Follow me," he's talking about all the time that you are with him. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.